In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today about the mystery of God's sovereignty. We've been saying so many times in this program in so many different ways, God is in charge. He's got the whole world in His hands. And we can believe that in theory. And then when something happens which seems utterly unexpected, utterly meaningless, utterly out of control, how thoroughly do we really accept that fact? Well, I know how easy it is to think, well, my case is an exception. Here's something that really didn't pass through God's permission. Surely it couldn't have. And yet, there are so many verses in the Bible that declare absolutely and categorically that God's wonderful purposes are all for our good. It says that, you know, in Psalm 40, verse 5. Psalm 119:91 says, "This day as ever, thy decrees stand fast, for all things serve thee." It's the mystery of a sovereign God in a broken world. A God who has all power, or we might say omnipotent. He knows all things. He's omniscient. And He is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He has all power, knows all things, and is everywhere. "Thou, God, seest me." My great Bible teacher, L.E. Maxwell, used to tell us that he did not come from a Christian home, but his mother taught him one scripture verse, four words, "Thou, God, seest me." And that little boy grew up with that consciousness that whatever he was doing, God was watching. What he didn't know was that this God is love. His very nature is love. Do you believe that? This is the God who made the sun stand still for Joshua. He sent bread from heaven for Israel. When He came to earth in the form of a human being, He walked on water. He turned water into wine. And in the Old Testament again, He made an iron axe float. This God is our God. He made us. He loves us. He cares for us. And He engineers the universe according to His inscrutable wisdom. In 1 Chronicles 29, we have the story of the gifts for the building of the great temple. King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man but for the Lord. With all my resources I have provided for the temple of my God. Gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now gave my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple: 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord?" Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold. And the footnote here says that a derrick is, if I can read this small print, about 185 pounds. Imagine that, 10,000 derricks, each weighing 185 pounds, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel, the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." Do you understand why I read that passage today? All those things that the people brought, all that work that they did in the building of that temple, it was cooperation with God. It's wonderful, isn't it, that God has created a world in which He's given us work to do, things that we can do with our hands and our brains, things which make a difference. And yet, after all this willing work and generous giving, the king, David, acknowledges that nobody could have done anything without God's strength. "Yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours." They couldn't have had this wealth and honor if it hadn't been for God. They couldn't have moved their hands if it hadn't been for the fact that in God's hands are strength and power to give strength to all. And then he says, "Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you." All that we have accomplished, the prophet Isaiah says in another passage, "You have done for us." Now think about that seeming contrast there, almost a contradiction. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. The will is man's God-given power of causality. Almighty God chose to enable His weak and feeble creatures to will to do what God wants them to do. Of course, we can also will to do what God doesn't want us to do. God gave us freedom, the choice to choose Him or to choose ourselves, to choose obedience or disobedience. And His giving us that willpower represents His own sacrifice and relinquishment. He could have made man's will match His own perfectly, but He didn't. Isn't that stupendous evidence of His love? As Tennyson wrote, "Our wills are ours, to make them thine." Our wills are ours, to make them thine. The power to exercise my will for God is a power that has been delegated by God. God will not usurp that power. He will not retrieve it for Himself. He wants our deliberate and voluntary gift. George MacDonald said, "The mightiest act that to will's hand doth lie is the will to relinquish my right to myself." The mightiest act that to will's hand doth lie is the will to relinquish my right to myself. We often hear people talk about strong-willed children. Oh, I've got a 2-year-old, and is he ever strong-willed? A young mother will say to me. And I said, are you sure you don't mean stubborn? Well, yeah, he's stubborn too. But I believe that strength of will is indicated by our ability to relinquish our will, to will against ourselves, to say, not my will, but thine be done. George MacDonald wrote this poem, Lord of Essential Life, help me to die. To will to die is one with highest life, the mightiest act that to will's hand doth lie, born of God's essence and of man's hard strife. God, give me strength my evil self to kill, and die into the heaven of thy pure will. Then shall this body's death be very tolerable. I love that. Help me to die. To will to die is one with highest life. I want to learn day by day, and God gives me many opportunities to recognize the need to die. I want to learn to die to myself, to say no to myself, and to will to do His will. God has given us the strength to will to do. As someone has said, everybody finds time to do what they really want to do. And my friend Barb Tompkins often says to her children, when people say they can't, they usually mean they won't. Will you will to do God's will today?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.